Thank you to our cooks and all those who helped with all of that. I know they're not in here, but we are recording. That was one thing I forgot to mention about in the early session, is that this is streaming online. So if you have people back at your church that want to see the services, it'll be two separate videos. You can search Highland Baptist Tullahoma on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. You'll find it on either, any one of those platforms, and it'll be saved there. Facebook only saves it for 30 days, but YouTube, it'll be there for a while. So be sure to share that with other people if they want to be a part of that and see the services from earlier. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin our session back. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again. Thank you so much for the time we've had of fellowship and food together. Thank you, Lord, for the worship that we've experienced in the first service. Father, I pray that you will bless us in this session. Father, I pray that you will just be glorified and honored. Thank you, God, that we can be a part of your kingdom work. I pray that you will continue to stir our hearts to seek, Lord, where we might serve and be a part of your missions work. So many opportunities that we've heard about, and yet so few, Lord, who go into the field. So send more laborers, Lord. Send more to serve in ministry and churches. And Father, we just ask for you to help us to raise up the next generation of ministers for our churches. And Father, encourage us, even though some of us may be in staff positions. Father, I pray that you would encourage us in our hearts to be faithful, to be a part of missions work, whether that's locally, across our state, or around the world. Lord, bless this time that we have together tonight again, and we just ask for your will to be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Unless I'm told different, we'll do the first and last song, last verse. Turn with us, if you would, if you're tired of sitting, stand. And let's sing at Calvary, hymn 138, first and last verse.
Two more items of business, and then we're going to go back to the reports and rejoicing again. So I'm going to acknowledge Terry McIntosh, our treasurer for our association, to come. And first, he's going to share with us the year-end budget report. It's found on page 12. You'd be go ahead and be turning there in your book of reports as he comes.
Thank you, and good evening. I'm pleased to be here with you tonight. It's no better place to be than doing the Lord's business on a Sunday evening. As Brother Tim just said, if you'd turn to page 12, that will be our financial statements printed for the year that we just got finished. Let's see. I was going to make a joke about being disadvantaged following all these preachers and great speakers and such, and I'm just a layman accountant, so bear with me. We are well and abundantly blessed in many ways, including financially. And thank you for your faithful and sacrificial giving through your churches. And thank you Also, I think we have good stewardship with our funds, with Matt and Tim and others providing good oversight on what we do with our finances. So on page 12, hopefully you have all found that in your booklet. At the very top, it's entitled Duck River Baptist Association Summary of Accounts, and it's just what it is. It's a summary of our financial activity for the year. The pages beyond that are detailed information if you like to get into the weeds a little bit, and that's produced in-house by our accounting software, which Debbie Johnson works with, and she does a great job. We're very happy with the software. We've got a good relationship with the software makers if she ever has a question. So all that backup detail, accounting reports, is done in-house. Yes, let's look at the at the very bottom of page 12 is basically our income and expense statement. The last three lines, the second to last line shows $240,379 as our expenses, $240,379. But we have given and taken in $272,781. So we have a surplus of $32,402, which is great. Now, you may see right above that we have an annual budget, and it was only $215,275, and you may ask, well, why were our expenses somewhat higher? And that's because we had some capital expenditures and repairs. Those are non-budgeted items. So we were able to take care of that through our savings and such. But then again, the income we took in for the year was $32,000 more than what we spent. I would mention that that figure does not include our reserve account activities, which are basically designated funds, and you can see that toward the top of page 12. And sort of by definition, the reserve funds are going to run a little bit of a deficit because don't really have dedicated income streams to the reserve funds, but funds are expended for those works as kind of described in the name of the reserve account. So if you take the small deficit from that, we actually had a $20,542 as our net income. We were to the good this year. So I think that's great. That's our income and expense report. The second part of our financial statements are our balance sheet, and I see our accountant graduate looking at me. The balance sheet basically is of course what we, you know, what we own, what we're free and clear on. Going almost to the end of the bottom of the page, total assets, $1,174,207. Of course, your equity is this, less any liabilities. We only have $515 in current liabilities. So we have a balance of $1,173,692. That sounds like a big figure, but of course, most of it is our building, land, and equipment, which we own free and clear, $810,293. The other amounts, it's a little hard to see, but the remaining balance of we have the reserve funds, which is $141,998. We have checking account of $52,774, savings $16,497. We did transfer some checking account monies to a certificate of deposit to earn some interest, which I think we're earning a little bit over 4%, in the amount of $75,000 is the principal. Our Tennessee Baptist Foundation Scholarship Fund is $75,879, And again, our building land equipment is $810,000. So anyway, we have equity of $1,173,000. So I guess we'll be happy to entertain any questions or comments after we have a motion and second from the floor.
Mark, can we have a motion to accept this printed financial overview from last year? Who made that? Bob. Okay, is there a second? Can you do a second, Eric? All right, thank you, sir. Bob Payne, motion. Eric Bradford, second. All right, now, it's on the floor. Free to ask Terry questions. He can try to answer those, or if you want to.
A couple of caveats
sure.
here. First of all, don't forget Miss Debbie. Last year, we voted to have Miss Debbie start doing our finances, and she has been doing a fantastic job. When we brought the finances into the building, she is doing a great job. We have check signers that take care of all of that. We have two check signers for every check that go out, and that's pastors within the association. So if we have checks that go out, we have two people that sign those checks every week. And so finances are being checked and double checked throughout the week. Terry keeps an eye on those things as well. So we send those things through Terry, through Parker, gets those reports. We do as much as we can to make sure things are being checked and double checked. A couple of things to draw your attention to. I do want to tell you this. There are a couple of caveats to keep in mind. We are so thankful for your gifts to the association. You have been extremely, extremely gracious to giving to the association. We don't plan on hoarding up the money in the association. The money we take in, we're going to do the very best we can to send it back out. Can I get an amen right there? Because we believe what the Lord gives in, we believe in sending back out, and He'll send more back in. For us to send more back out. So these reports that you heard in the first session, we're going to start supporting these missions and these ministries because that's what we do as missionary Baptist. And we're going to do more of that. Now, you see those numbers there. I think it behooves me to let you know that we were told this year that one of our churches has decided that they have voted in their church, that they have decided they're no longer going to partner with us. At our association, so they did give us the benefit of telling us this year they're cutting their giving in half, so they're cutting their giving in half by $11,000 this year, and then they're going to cut the rest of their giving right at $11,000 next year. So over the next 2 years, they're cutting $22,000, their giving of $22,000 to the association. So we're bidding them Godspeed and what they choose to do with that. So we've been proactive in that. That's why we chose to do a certificate of deposit. We'll be gaining quite a bit of interest through that $75,000. Over that, we've had some churches that have stepped up this year and have been very generous to help us in that. We've made some other changes through the budget. Even though the budget's going up this year, we've helped alleviate some of that in the budget. And we're going to do the very best we can to what we do in the budget and how we take care of things in the budget to help alleviate that in the coming days. But we thought it was important for you to hear that, that there will be a little bit of shortfall, but God is good, amen. And we believe God's gonna take care of that because we are doing the Lord's work in the association. And so if your church feels the moving of the Lord to step up your giving to the association, we just want you to know it's going to go right back out. We believe in being missionary Baptist and giving more and more and more to the missions and ministry of the association. You heard some great reports in the first session. You're going to hear great reports in this session. So I just want to say thank you for what you're doing through the Duck River Baptist Association.
Questions or anything concerning the report from last year? Call for the question. Okay. We have to vote on that. Herb Hester. We call for the question motion. So I need a second on that. Who said that? James? Okay. We're voting on the call for the question. So if you're ready to vote on the budget from last year, say the budget report from last year, say aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed, say nay. All right, now we are ready to vote on the report because we voted on the call for the question, okay? Y'all with me? Keep you on your toes because you ate a little bit and you kind of got to get your mind thinking here, okay? All right, so the budget, financials from 2024 and 2025 have been presented to you, shared with us. Thanks again to Miss Debbie. Thanks to Terry. And it's already been motioned and seconded. So all in favor then of accepting the report as printed here in your book of reports, say aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? All right, Terry's going to come now and share with us the proposed budget for 2025-2026.
All right, if you would turn to pages 11 and 11A, that's our proposed budget for our current fiscal year, which began October 1st. I'll just go to the bottom line first. The budget is just showing a requested 4.4% increase over last year, which is $9,499. That's on the back of page 11, which is 11A. But going back to page 11, which is entitled Proposed Budget, you'll see the left-hand column is what our last year's budget was. The middle column is what is proposed, and then showing any change in the third column. You can see there's some negatives, which means the accounts have been reduced. Others have positives, which have been increased. Let's see, anything, just point out some highlights. Things that have a line through them have been zeroed out. They've either been combined in other accounts or they have not been active, so they've been zeroed out. And I guess some of these program details, if you have questions, Matt can address those. But under mission personnel there in the middle of the page, everyone is being given a 4% pay increase, which of course is only a little bit above inflation cost of living. So it's 4%. Flipping over to the back of the page, 11A, there are some significant amounts there, some increases, but of course a lot of it was offset by decreases on the first part of the budget report. Copier and printing has gone up. Office supplies, as we see a need for an increase. Insurance there. So again, the proposed budget is $224,774, which is a 4.4% increase over last year's. So this is a recommendation from the leadership team. I don't believe it needs a second.
You're correct, Terry. So it comes from the associational leadership team and is now open for discussion questions.
Mention a couple of things real quick. Now, it doesn't look like there's a raise for the administrative assistant, but last year we billed in overtime for Miss Debbie. But she did get a raise this year, so if there is a question, her raise is still in there. They're still built in overtime for the administrative assistant. So she did get a raise this year. If you don't believe me, ask the guy sitting on the front row. He didn't get one, but she did. Did anybody's insurance not go up this year at your church? Did anybody's insurance go up at your church this year? You see that reflected in our budget this year. How many of you called the association asking about insurance this year? There was a lot of y'all called the church this, or the association this year asking about insurance. Everybody's insurance went through the roof this year, including the association. So that was a big increase. But a lot of these things, we just had to finagle around, move some stuff around. But we're trying to do the very best we can The leadership team met for, I think, 3 hours just kind of digging through the budget this year and moving stuff around. So, if you've got any questions, now's the time to ask those things.
Anybody? You want to address that? Is there not a line item for the disaster relief?
Well, we have a reserve account for that. Who asked that question? Where'd that come from? We have a reserve account that's got a good amount of money in that, and so we can draw from that. We're getting ready to revamp our whole disaster relief ministry. John England is our disaster relief coordinator. He just retired or getting ready to retire, so he's going to dedicate more time to that. So we're getting ready to revamp that whole thing. So, but we can still use from the... if we need to, from budget line items, if we need to. But yes, we don't have as many people. We need more people to do disaster relief. We're down to about 4 people right now doing disaster relief. So if you want to do disaster relief, we need you. But we do have a reserve account for that. Yes, ma'am.
Other questions?
Nathan. Ministry,
just how is that? Ministry.
It'll be work if we use it. It'll be work through local evangelism.
Did you hear the question? The Bonnaroo Ministry, how is that going to be taken care of? And Brother Matt said it'll be worked through local evangelism line item. That will be addressed as it comes up later. Ready to vote on it? Well, I see no other hands. Then if you're in favor of the proposed budget for 2025-26, say aye. Anybody opposed, say nay. All right. Thank you again, Terry. Thank you for everybody that had a part in that. We have any old business? We have any new business? All right, then we're through with the business. We'll get back to our reports and our missions highlights. So we'll begin with Brother Matt, his director of missions report.
All right, we'll try to keep mine as brief as possible. And you can find my report on page 15. And I'm not going to go through all of those things, but you can see at the very end of my report on 15A, I made 105 church contacts over the last year. And I enjoy coming to your churches, being a part of your worship services, preaching in your churches, doing the nights of worship. It's my great pleasure to be with you, and it's an honor to come and be with you on Sundays and Wednesdays. There are some other things that I enjoy doing as your director of missions. One of those things is being a pastor to pastors. And one of the things that I have been doing in the last couple of weeks is I have sent out a pastor's wellness questionnaire. And a lot of guys have already turned these in. This is for pastors, associate pastors, youth pastors, music ministers. If you did not get one of these or you have not filled it out, there are some on the table back here. I brought these with me. We want to see where you're at mentally and physically and spiritually. It's anonymous. You don't have to put your name on this. You can fill this out. You can drop it off at the office in the mailbox, or you can send it back in an envelope and don't put your return address on it. If you email it to Miss Debbie, she'll print it off and she'll never tell me where it came from. We've got a envelope that it goes in, and later on we'll evaluate these things with Dr. Nancy. We want to know what's going on with the pastors in our association. Your health is important to me. I want to know where you are. I want to know how we can better minister to you. Because I tell folks all the time, pastors are the only folks in our church who don't have a pastor. And pastors struggle with things that nobody else know about. And so we want to know how we can minister to you. So if you have not filled one of these things out or you don't have one, Would you get one of these before you leave, guys? They're on the table back here. Fill one of these out, get them back to us, and try to do that before November the 1st or in the next couple of weeks anyway, and let us know. And we want to find out how we can better minister to you. We do have another night of worship coming up in the next couple of weeks. When is that night of worship?
November
8th at Rutledge Falls Baptist Church. What's the time on that?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. So if you have youth, you want to be a part of that youth night of worship, that will be our 6th night of worship this year. We have gotten our churches together this year. Hey, we're going to be in heaven together. Might as well worship together. Amen. All right, so youth night of worship, November the 8th, Rutledge Falls Baptist Church. If you've got any questions about that, you can ask some of our youth pastors around here. They can give you more information. And then the last thing I want to say to you is our 200th anniversary next year. Same time next year, the last Sunday of October next year. We want you to be a part of that. We want to know if you have pictures, information, all kinds of stuff that deal with the association from years gone by. Miss Linda Crouch is going to be kind of helping us put all of that together. She's already been giving us some information from years gone by. We need pictures of former DOMs, maybe some churches from years gone by. We need some pictures of churches from years ago, what some of the older churches would have looked like. Some of your churches have been replaced. We'd like to have some of those pictures, kind of like what Highland has done for their 75th anniversary. We want to do that for next year. So if you have any pictures, any information for the association over the last 200 years, get that to me, get that to Miss Linda. We want to do everything we can. Now, if you'd like to serve on a little impromptu committee, call the association and let us know that you want to help us do that. We know some of you folks are history buffs. You have time on your hands. We're going to start that tonight. It's going to take us till next year to get all of this put together. It's going to be a big to-do next year. We're going to try to do as little business next year as possible at our 200th anniversary because we want it to be a celebration. We're going to try to make it family-friendly. We want to have the block party trailer there. We want folks to bring their families. We're going to have the inflatables and the popcorn machines and the snow cone machines. We're going to pray for God to give us great weather that day. We want to make it a family-friendly event. We're going to have preaching and celebration, and we are going to honor the Lord as we celebrate 200 years. So if you want to be a part of that, you have pictures and all kinds of information for us, please let us know. We want you to help us in that endeavor. 200 is a big deal, folks. Amen? That's a big deal. And so we want you to help us in that endeavor. And so that's all I've got. If you got any questions for me about what I do, any questions about anything, my number is available to you. I'm available anytime. That you've got questions, if you want to know what I do, you can always call Miss Debbie. She runs the office anyway. You can always call and check with her. She keeps that thing running all the time. She is absolutely the right person for that job. God put her in a great place, and I am thankful for Miss Debbie. She is absolutely, so being able to work with her and with Hanaro on a daily basis, and then we have the counselors that work on the other end of the building. You know what I get to do a lot of times? I get to cook. How many times, Dr. Nancy, they come in and I've got stuff cooking on the stove. I cook for them a lot at the association office. I have a garden out back, and I'll go out back and get fresh vegetables and cook stuff for them out back. We have a great working relationship at the office. So thank you for allowing me to be your director of missions. I appreciate the opportunity to do that. So we're going to start our ministry reports, and we're going to start with Nathan. John is not here tonight for his disaster relief report, but I gave you a little bit of that. We're going to revamp our disaster relief in the coming months and how we do that. But after Nathan, we've got two or three more reports after that. Then we'll move down to Dr. Nancy and the Counseling Center report, and then we'll finish up with Kelly. I'll introduce him here in just a little bit.
Thank you. If you would turn to page 16 in your book, that you'll see my report. I'm not going to go over everything there. The biggest thing for me this year, working for the Duck River Baptist Association, has been your prayers. When y'all sent out the request to pray for my daughter after her unfortunate inner tube accident at youth camp this summer, I've known because you guys have come up to me time and time again and said, "How's Joy? We're praying for her." And I thank you guys so much. Please keep praying. She's still struggling through her recovery. Just keep praying for her. And I thank you so, so much for doing that for me. That's meant the world to me and to Joy this year. So, good report from the BCM. It's been a good year. Started out so much better because, you know, it's been a struggle since COVID to get students to want to get together again. And so I just got a report that it seems like students want to get together again finally, and we're having good numbers at the BCM. We're having as many as over 70 at lunch this semester, and that has been such a blessing. As you know, after COVID, we had 15, 20, and it was a little discouraging for a while, and it's been a hard time trying to get people back, and so we've been seeing the numbers go up. So thank you so much for praying for that. Keep praying for that. We are seeing some good things happen there. We've had as many as 13 at Bible study this semester so far on our Tuesday night Bible study. I get to do a little bit of what Matt does. We cook for the kids and get to have Bible study together. And we're starting some new things too. So you'll see at the McMinnville campus, we've started a new BCM group over at McMinnville, and we've passed out 3 sack lunches with tracks in them so far this semester, and are planning to do that every month at the McMinnville campus. And we've got a new meal time at the BCM on Tuesdays now, so we're doing the churches. Thank you guys so much for continuing to do the meals on Mondays, and my wife and I have been serving meals on Tuesdays this semester, and so thank you so much. We're so thankful to get to do the work, and you'll see as you read the report that I'm trying to do a more full-time job out there right now. So just read the report and keep praying for us. Thank you so much.
I was waiting on my video. That's okay. Thank you guys so much for your support of CEF. I thought I'd just start out with the good news about good news in our area. We have 11 clubs in the Duck River Baptist Association area, and that means we have almost 500 children that are attending Good News Clubs and hearing the gospel every week. And those clubs are run by almost 100 volunteers from just the Duck River Baptist Association churches. So we have a lot to be grateful for. And the stats are just starting to roll in about how many of the kids have come to Christ this year. It's still early in the season, so I'm sure that we'll have a lot more. And we've even had some baptisms among the kids, too. And we have a wide open opportunity to start a club at Swanee Elementary. And we don't have a volunteer church yet, so if you guys would be praying about that, we really need to get a club going there. The principal was very excited about it. I wanted to share something that happened this week in our club, which I think is telling about what's going on in our whole state. I had a little girl come out to talk to me about trusting Christ, and it was really obvious that it wasn't something that she felt really comfortable talking about. She didn't even know the right questions to ask. And so I asked one of the teachers about her, and she said, I would think that her time in Good News Club is probably the first time she's ever been exposed to the gospel before, and she's a fourth grader. And that was pretty overwhelming to me. So it's important that we understand that there are kids right all around us that need to hear the gospel, and they will not have an opportunity to hear the gospel unless we get in those schools and share the truth with the kids. So we need to be praying about that, because there are so many kids that will never even understand the realm of God or his blessings for them, and they may live their entire lives not even knowing where they'll spend eternity or even that there is an eternity. So we have a lot of work to do. And the data tells us that in the state of Tennessee, once a part of the Bible Belt, we're losing ground. And the fallout is the children that aren't going to be able to hear the gospel because their parents, you know, they're victims of what their parents can do. We invite kids at Good News Club to church all the time, but, you know, their parents aren't interested in that kind of thing. So please be praying that we have more and more opportunities to share the gospel with the kids. And please pray for the city of Tullahoma. We can't have schools, we can't have clubs in the schools in Tullahoma City Schools. So please be praying for that. We need all the prayer warriors that we can, and some creative ways to get the gospel. But I want you guys to know that Child Evangelism Fellowship isn't just Good News Clubs. We have a vibrant ministry to kids ages 12 all the way through high school, where they can learn to be summer missionaries, and it's called Christian Youth in Action. And we had so many sweet opportunities this summer to go even into a couple of churches and do Vacation Bible School with our teens with CYIA, and it was a great opportunity for smaller churches. But we also did it in parks and backyards and different places like that. And if you are a Good News Club volunteer, we also have an opportunity for you to up your game as a teacher, because we have a program called Teaching Children Effectively, TCE 1 and TCE 2. If you want to learn how to write your own curriculum for teaching your kids, even in your church, you have an opportunity to do that with TCE. And it's not just the Bible. You can learn how to teach songs and memory verses in a more effective way, too. So we have a lot to offer, so check out our website. We're getting a new website, so it'll be a very nice addition. So thank you so much for giving, and please thank you for praying.
Thank you. I want to talk to you about High on the Hog. Now, the High on the Hog is a festival that happens in Winchester, Tennessee, on the third weekend of May every year. It has cooking competitions, you have a carnival that comes. Mainly, you have thousands of people that pass through just the city park there in that area over a few days and over that week. Well, what we've been doing the last 3 years is we've been offering a booth. And how many of y'all have ever done the, maybe went out west with James Scott and the Wyoming, were you talking the booth? Just Evan, thanks Evan. All right, so it's the same type of concept. We set up a booth and we do a giveaway. We've given away kayaks, we've given away grills and things like that. To come, they come and they want to enter in to the competition the giveaway. We ask for 3 minutes of their time. And during those 3 minutes, we share the gospel with them. And over the last 3 years, we've come close to sharing the gospel with roughly 1,000 people in our community. Now, there's a lot more people we could be reaching if we had some help. We have talked to Brother Matt about this needs to be a Duck River Association, because what we have found at Winchester is that there's a lot of people who come that just don't live in Winchester. A lot of them live in Coffee County, Grundy County, and even some of the surrounding counties. We would love to be able to connect people that are coming and hearing the gospel to churches in their community. And it'd be a lot easier for us to say, hey, actually, you live out in the Rutledge Falls area? Hey, there's Evan. He's the pastor there. Talk with him. Hey, there's a member here from First Tullahoma. They live in Tullahoma. You can go there. Hey, there's a member there up on the mountain in Keith Springs. You can go to that church and connect with that person. This is an opportunity we have, just like Jamie talked earlier about going and sharing the gospel, being faithful to do that as missionaries. It starts at home. It starts doing it here. We have an opportunity to share the gospel with thousands of people that pass through, thinking they're coming for food and for games. And little they know, they're here there to hear the gospel, because God orchestrated it. So that's the third weekend in May. We'd love for you to join. There'll be more information that'll be put out about that through the association. As time gets closer, we'll have trainings on how you can engage the people, share the gospel. But we share the gospel for 2 or 3 days, and it would be helpful to have many more of you come, and we can reach more people. Last year, we reached over 300 people with the gospel, had several salvations. We've had people start attending churches, people baptized, and it's a wonderful ministry. You don't necessarily have to go far off to the Perus or to the Wyomings and things like that. You can start here at home. Because unfortunately, if we don't start here at home, one day there'll be other places talking about, hey, we need to send missionaries to Franklin County, Coffee County, and Grundy County, because they're 95% lost. So let's not neglect home. Let's begin sharing the gospel. And High on the Hog is an opportunity for you to get your people involved in sharing the gospel here at home. And so talk to Brother Matt. You can also contact Winchester First Baptist. We'll be more than happy to tell you more about that ministry and how you can be a part.
Good evening. My name is Genaro Orellana. I'm your Hispanic missionary. I'm also a pastor of Iglesia Gracia here in Tullahoma. As association, we have been navigating the reality of the Latino demographic boom here in this area. 1 in 4 children born in the United States is Latino. So, you know, we're talking about nations, we're talking about other countries, all things, but we got here outside in our you know, backgrounds, in our backyards, working for us. They're here outside. As a Hispanic missionary in working with you guys, we need to pay attention to one of the fastest growing groups to realize the missional force of Hispanic represent. We've been having a lot of challenge also, but we're trying to work aside with the churches. One of the things that we're creating, it's the ESL. ESL, that not only we want to work in Tullahoma, we want to work in Franklin County, we want to work in First Baptist in Manchester. We're trying to create that. So we have a group of ladies that we send to get trained. And this past August 1st and 2nd of August, but also this past September, we had our first training for the volunteers. So we're working on it. I'm so excited because that can cover a lot, not only Latinos, can cover other nationalities also. They want to... Oh, yes. It's English as a second language, you know, ESL. That is ESL. Also, I was thinking, this is as my experience working with Latinos, one of the things, many of them, they are illegals, yes, but there are people there in the process of the legalization also. They have their social security number. They have everything to get, you know, their license, for example. That's one thing. But talking with them, they try more than 10 times to get their license, but they fail. One thing I was thinking, you know, are you studying? You need help with that, with other things? And I realized that many of them, they can't read. So they go to take the test in Spanish, yes. But they say, but Pastor, the first time that I took, it's not the same. When I take the second time, of course, the computer is going to change the questions. But we need to help them. That's what I'm thinking, you know. I have the manual and have the questions also, and I translate it to Spanish, and I'm trying to make classes to help them to go through that, to show them some words, keywords they might recognize when they are in the room they're taking their exam. So we're trying to complement. I didn't talk with Bro Matt yet, but it's part of the world that we're gonna do that. So that's it. Praise the Lord.
Now we need to celebrate. Hanaro has finished his classes.
Yes.
And on December the 12th, Hanaro will graduate with his Master of Divinity from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And also, I baptized to my son this morning. So I'm so proud of my son. Praise the Lord.
Good evening, and I am Nancy Garrison, the director of the DRBA Christian Counseling Center. On behalf of the counselors of us there, I say thank you for continued offering of office space and for the support and insightful input from our DOM Matt Ledbetter and our group Dr. Tone Blanchard, Cheryl Bourdonnais, and Shannon Martin. We meet about twice a year, and the counselors of us at this point include my husband sitting in the back, also a licensed clinical psychologist who specializes in working with people who have experienced different kinds of trauma, often have diagnoses of PTSD or depression, anxiety. They may have served in the military, police force, or had a car accident, or other kinds of traumas that are more personal. We also continue to have Kelly Forsyth, wife of youth pastor Tim Forsyth, on board. She has graduated and almost finished with her licensure requirements. She's volunteering 1 to 2 afternoons and evenings a week. It is really a joy to have her be there, and we are praying that she will, once things are better, once her licensure process has been completed, that she will be able to give us more time. And we are really blessed and celebrating that we have a new therapist this year who started work in February of this year. Her name is Deborah Baxter. She is a licensed clinical social worker from New York. now also licensed in Tennessee, and she started seeing people before she was credentialed with any insurance companies. She has just been very excited to be a part of our practice. Just to clarify, we are not a group, a legal group of practitioners. We are all independently licensed, but we gathered together as Christians, all working under the same roof at the Christian Counseling Center, and we pay for our own professional expenses, and at the same time, we are so very grateful for the offering of free office space and phone, internet, that helps us to be able to offer pro bono or free services much more than we would otherwise be able to give. We are also able to discount some services for people who have financial hardship, at least at certain points in time. I wanted to let you know about one other thing that is new this year for us. About a year ago, I was invited and I accepted the invitation to work as an independent contractor with the Tennessee Baptist Mission Board. And as a result, I was able to serve last year at the summit, providing counseling services for anybody that was interested who was a summit participant. And in an ongoing fashion, we are now eligible to receive referrals from the Tennessee Baptist Mission Board for pastors and other paid ministerial staff and their families. So that has just been a blessing. We've seen 25 of those shepherd care sessions in this past year. And I think it's just an honor to be able to serve in that way. We've seen a total of 1,918 people sessions this past year, 320 of which were pro bono, that is about 17%. And new clients included 103. I wrote the verse, for with God nothing shall be impossible, Luke 1:37. We hear that a lot, but I think for us who work as counselors in the counseling center, this year has been hard-hitting for us personally and or for our families. My husband has had two major back surgeries this year alone, and he's now back to the office and working, and that to me is a miracle. Our new counselor, Deb Baxter, her husband has a number of health issues, and she keeps up with him. You know, she's amazing. And so I really thank the Lord for holding us up as we navigate our own families and life issues, as well as seek to be available to offer our profession with God's help and wisdom and counsel and strength and all the rest for those who come. I wanted to read just a few verses in Psalms 46. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way. Our news suggests that the earth is giving way. We can't help but read or watch the news. The earth is giving way. Well, people come into our office because their personal worlds are giving way. And churches are no exception from struggling with mental health kinds of issues. And so we are honored to be a part of shoring up people that already know and love Jesus and are seeking to follow him, seeking to love God and their neighbor as themselves. We are also honored to work with people who do not know Jesus yet. And so our prayer is that God will give us the scriptures and the seeds to plant so that their hearts will come to understand the hope that we can all have. And the numbers can never reflect, as is true for so many other ministries, the numbers do not reflect the prayers prayed with people, the answers to those prayers. And often after that starts happening, people will call in or text or in sessions ask us to pray for family concerns. And so the ministry just kind of spills over into the families often that are not coming. So that is exciting to see. I wanted to validate, especially for pastors, why I think some of the load has felt so heavy since COVID. And this has been alluded to, but there's research from the East Tennessee State University in an article from July of this year that suggests Tennessee is part of a national suicide belt that begins in Virginia, West Virginia, and sweeps across all the way over to Arizona and Nevada. And one of the problems, especially for Tennessee, is that all but four of Tennessee's 95 counties is designated as a mental health professional shortage area. The suicide rate in rural areas is higher than urban areas. So we have an especially challenged population that we live in, that we work in. I just encourage us all to never assume that because a family looks good, even goes to church on the outside, that there's not pain, even struggling with hope. So I think that brings me back to the verse that encourages us to love God and our neighbor as ourself. So as it's been said, checking in and knowing who our neighbor is. Our closest neighbor includes the people that we live with. And I want to close with this verse because I think this integrates the loving each other as well as the Great Commission. John 13:34 says, and this is Jesus talking to his disciples after he washed their feet. He said, "Love one another as I have loved you. By this all men will know that you are my disciples."
All right, let me just mention a couple of things. First of all, the Counseling Center is probably the strongest ministry we have at the association. If you just come and sit at the building for one day and just count the cars that come through that parking lot, it will absolutely blow your mind how many folks drive through that parking lot every day. Let me say this also about the Shepherd Care Network. We signed an agreement with the Tennessee Baptist Mission Board. We worked on that for several weeks with Sing Oldham at the Tennessee Baptist Mission Board, and she said 25, she's already had counseled with 25 pastors through the Tennessee Baptist Mission Board Shepherd Care Network. One of my prayers, one of my goals, and I've shared this with the leadership team and with some other pastors, I would love to be able to have a respite house out behind the association building so that when pastors and their families, and these pastors are coming from different areas in the state to come here, some of them drive from far reaches of the state to come and do part of this, be a part of the Shepherd's Care Network, to have a respite house where they come, they have a place to stay without having to pay for a motel room and things like that, where they could come and stay for a day or two, do some intensive if they need be. So we're praying about that hopefully one day we can have a respite house where they can come. Highland has been gracious that we've had some of those pastors be able to come and stay here at the Mission House here at Highland. If you have a parsonage or a home that you would be willing to give up, that you could say you could let us use that from time to time for a pastor and his family to stay in when they come for counseling, would you let us know that tonight? Dr. Nancy, Dr. John would love to be able to know that for a pastor and his family to come and stay in that home when they do counseling here. That would be something very beneficial for us to know. So thank you for your support for the Counseling Center at the Duck River Baptist Building. Our keynote speaker tonight is Kelly Reed for our second session. You heard him last year. Many of you that's been on mission trips to Canada have met him and met him personally. He has transitioned, as Mark told us earlier, from being the pastor of Tapestry Church and serving as a dual role as the church catalyst or the church planting catalyst for the Aspen Church Planting Network to doing that now specifically. They have planted 15 churches and they have several more in work. And he has moved into that role. And so he is now doing that full time and he needs our help. And he is talking with other churches and with other associations and with state conventions to help be able to do that full time, to fund that full time. And he's going to be sharing that with you tonight in his message. We are excited as the Duck River Baptist Association to be a part of that. He and I went out to breakfast the other morning and got to hear more about what they're doing with that, what he's doing with that, and he's been able to share some more of that with folks, with you. He's had coffee with some of you and shared a meal with some of you this week, and I know you're excited to hear more about that tonight. His story, more of his bio was found there in the early pages of your book, and I know you're excited to hear from Kelly tonight. So after we sing, we're going to hear from Kelly Reed, our church planting catalyst and partner in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. So Mike, lead us in a song.
If you can and would like to, we're going to sing hymn 329. Two verses, Ben, first and last verse. Grace greater than our sin. It's Pat.
Good evening, Duck River Baptist Association. I come with greetings from churches back home in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. It is a delight to be with you again. If you guys remember from last year at Cowan, I was one of the speakers, and it was a delight to be with you then, as it is now. In the last year, we've had a couple of teams, and I recognize some of those faces here that have come and ministered in Canada. A special thank you to Mark and to Matt, as they've helped to lead those, as well as all those who have come. Thank you, Duck River Baptist, for your partnership in the gospel. Often, as Paul says in his New Testament epistles, thank you for that partnership, because it is just that, a partnership in the gospel of Jesus Christ. As a quick recap from last year, if you guys weren't here, I shared from a passage in the Gospels about a man who had been possessed. He was bound by chains, and then Jesus and the disciples had come across the sea, and they had healed him and freed him, and he was of sound mind, and the people came, and they were amazed, and they heard about the pigs that had ran down in the sea, and you guys remember the story, right? Well, the end of that story, what does this man, this now healed man, want to do? Jesus and the disciples are getting in a boat, and they're ready to go to the next place. And this man, this now healed man, wants to do what? Yeah, you guys are pastors. He wants to go with them. And as he goes to get in the boat and he's ready to punch his ticket, Jesus says, that's not the plan I have for you. The plan I have for you is to go home, to go to the Decapolis, to the 10 cities, and to proclaim what it is that I have done. And so as I shared with you guys last year, my story kind of traces that. A young man who didn't grow up in the Christian home, who only knew hockey, God eventually grabbed a hold of him during my senior year of high school. And to some extent, as I came down to Tennessee, I went to Union University, where I met a West Tennessee girl who somehow said yes to being my wife. We felt like God was sending at least me back to my home some 19 years ago to church plant and to reach the city of Calgary, a city that's now over 1.5 million people. And like Brother LZ mentioned with Wyoming, Calgary is like Wyoming, 95% lost. And so we went back with that call on our lives. We heard from Brother Randy Davis on the video not too long ago, and he mentioned a man named Daniel Sinkefeld, and maybe some of you guys know him, but it rang a bell in my head because partway through my early pastoring at Tapestry Church, which I pastored there for 12 years, I was a young man, I was still learning what God was wanting from my life, I was in my early 30s, and for whatever reason, I got invited to a prayer breakfast up at our Canadian Baptist Theological Seminary. Brother Daniel was there as one of the special guests of the seminary, and it was there that I was asked to share what it is that God was laying on my heart as a testimony of a recent graduate from our seminary. And I remember just as I was kind of racking my brain going into this and just kind of trying to pull together what it felt like God was saying to me, I had shared a similar story to what I shared with you guys last year, that how I was saved, how God had led me, what God was doing in me, but that my vision was to see more and more. In fact, I said 100 more of those type of stories come through my life. And now as I look at it, 100 is probably too small, but my desire back then, as I shared with him, was to see 100 people come to know the Lord, raised up in the Lord, become leaders, be sent as leaders, and equipped and go. And so as you guys are talking about here at Tennessee Baptist Mission Board, as you're talking about a DRBA here in your local association, we need leaders. We need leadership pipelines. We're doing a little bit different. We're calling it a greenhouse, but same idea. We need more leaders in our churches. We need more leaders in our empty churches here in Tennessee, and we need more leaders in our soon-to-be churches in Calgary. This evening, I want to share a little bit about what it is that God's been doing in our lives back in Calgary. It's been mentioned by Mark and by Matt, a little bit of my transition. And so I want to share a little bit of our story. I have some slides for us, and I guess I'll just ask us to kind of slide through it as we go. But Aspen Network, let's go next slide. Started off just with our Church of Tapestry, where I'd pastored until recently at the end of September when I stepped down. We had a heart to plant churches. Now, we weren't a big fancy church. We were a church of maybe 50 to 65 people, which is a pretty normative sized church, maybe even big compared to some of your churches. But we had this dream, we had this vision to plant churches. We had just finished replanting ourselves. We had been a church on the very edge of a large metropolis area, Calgary, Alberta, 1.5 million people. But through a certain series of events, we felt that God was calling us to be replanted. Replanted from the edge of Calgary out to a community about 25 minutes to the west, closer to the Rocky Mountains. And we prayed about it. We fasted as a church. We felt like God was leading us in this. But myself and our elders, we were also struggling with something. Because as much as we knew that God was calling us to replant into a community outside of Calgary, We also knew that God is calling us to reach Calgary. And if you guys, off the top of your head, can figure out how those two can be reconciled together, you're smarter than I, because we as elders were going like, Lord, we feel like you're saying both of these things, but they don't necessarily add up. How do we do this? How do we, as a small church, first off, reach our city? Second off, how do we as a small church move from the city to a bedroom community of 30,000 or less than 30,000 people 25 minutes west and still reach the city? And yet God said, trust me. And so we trusted him. Easter of 2017, we replanted our church. By the end of that summer, so 5-6 months later, God had, in his grace, and entirely in his grace, had grown our church from what was about 20 people to about 75 people at that time, including children, so about 50 adults. And at the same time was giving us some young men and women. We had three couples that came to us at the end of August that had been at our church, and they said, Pastor, we feel God's calling us to go back to the city and to start new works. And I was like, amen, this is exactly what it is that we've been praying about. You guys are the answer to that prayer. Just like we saw those that came up earlier that are being called into ministry, young men and women and older men and women that are being called into ministry, this is what we were praying for. And they came. And we started looking around, and, you know, we were reaching into the couch cushions trying to find some money to make this work. We looking around the church going like, well, we don't have anybody to send, like, besides these couples. Like, if we give much more than this, there's not going to be a whole lot left of this church. We certainly don't have any money. The pastor, myself, was paid maybe half-time at the time. We don't have much of anything to give, and yet this is clearly what God wanted us to do. And so at that time, we started something called the Tapestry Church Planting Network, which is now what we call the Aspen Network. And why don't we go to the next slide? And we had this vision in 2017, and it was a crazy vision. Five churches in 5 years. We saw three couples here. We thought, oh, that's three churches. We're already all the way to five. We're almost all the way there. But we said, no, five churches in 5 years. Like, what would it be like if God would do that? I remember at that time I was learning from pastors back home and learning from missionaries, and I was learning what it meant for something to be a God-sized dream. And I think up until that point, I kind of confused God-sized with McDonald's supersized. In other words, like, you can get this amount of fries, or you can supersize it and get just a little bit more. I thought that that's what made something a God-sized vision. I thought if this is what I can do, if this is what Pastor Kelly can do, and maybe even Tapestry Church can do, or in your case, what Duck River can do, this is what we can do if we just make it just 10% bigger. Then we'll have a God-sized dream. But I learned that in this moment and at this time, from older pastors, wiser missionaries, elders in our church even, that's not what makes something God-sized. It's only God-sized when our portion is infinitesimal, when our portion is barely recognized, when it is entirely God and only God can do it. Only when it's his glory that we can give, only when it's our dependence being fully submitted and surrendered to him. And so for us, I am not kidding, five churches in 5 years seemed just like that. We had nothing to give except our hearts and a posture of giving ourselves away. We had a scripture passage that has always kind of been near and dear to me. Maybe some of you guys know it. It comes from Habakkuk, the small minor prophet there in the middle of your Bible. But in chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "For the earth will be filled." Do you guys know this one? "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." As we began to look to five churches in 5 years, it wasn't just having numbers on the screen. As we wanted to reach our city, we wanted Calgary to be saturated with the gospel. We wanted Calgary to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And so we said, Lord, we'll sense that you're in it if we have five churches in 5 years. We'll do what we can. We'll take care of some of the insurance and accounting stuff. We'll find a way to make that work. We'll develop more leaders, because for us to get there, we need more leaders. And we'll find ways to find partnerships to make it easier for our church planters along the way. And that was our heart. That was our vision. So next slide, we had this. A little bit of graphic errors there, but the vision was this. The Tapestry would become a multiplying church. Brother LZ, you had a picture of the different ways that sending churches and cooperating churches. This is a picture of a multiplying church. This is what we dreamed of 8 odd years ago. But as God has kind of grown and as God has been working in our network, we didn't, by God's grace, just stop at a multiplying church. We went, next slide, to what a movement church looks like. So it's been 8 years. We're well past that five-year vision. But our vision was just five church plants. But as you can see from this graphic, God has given us grace to start churches that have now started churches, and even some that are now starting to start new churches, just in 8 years. Our average size of church is probably 40 to 60 people. Again, we're not planting, we don't have many buildings, we don't have hardly any full-time guys on this roster, and yet God is moving. Calgary is a growing city, which is certainly helping it. Our church Tapestry is connected to our seminary. In fact, we meet out of our seminary, so God is using that to bring new leaders to us. So it's certainly not everything that we're doing. It's God's grace and where we're placed. But God has led us to this point where we are seeing a movement happen of churches coming out of Tapestry and the Vine Church, Hope Hills Church. And you guys have partnered with some of these churches. In fact, some of you guys next summer, I think Trinity is going to be helping the Vine Church, which is kind of in the upper left side of the screen there for you. What's our next slide look like? So this is kind of our geographical area. You can see the mountains there on the one side of the left side of the screen. Calgary is there on the right side of the screen. The red ones are kind of our more established churches. They're church plants that have kind of phased out of church planting. They're more established now. And all the blue ones are either in year 1 to 4 or have kind of a year zero church plant, which means they haven't been approved or assessed yet, but they maybe got a Bible study going and they're kind of aiming towards being a church plant. But the goal of the Aspen Network, and this, let's go two slides, one more, is this. This is our vision statement. And it comes right from Habakkuk 2:14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. It comes from the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples. Our vision is that every man, woman, and child. So who does that include? Every man, woman, and child. Every man, woman, child. Everybody. There's not, I mean, I guess I didn't include, you know, the dog and the cat, but we know salvation is for us. And so everybody, every man, woman, and child. What do we want to happen with all those people? Well, we want them to have repeated opportunities to hear. The gospel's got to be proclaimed. The gospel's got to be heard. The gospel message needs to be said and spoken, heard and responded to. But we also believe that the gospel message needs to be seen in our lives that are transformed before people. And that will be a testimony not only to God, but also to man, that they would be curious about our lives, and that ultimately that they would respond to the gospel. Yes, some people will respond and say, that's not for me, at least for now. Some will say no, certainly. But our job's not to plant churches. Our job's not to even win souls. Our job is to do this, to give as many people as possible, as many chances as possible to hear, see, and respond to the gospel. It's what we live for. It's what we strive for. It's what we're trying to do in Calgary. And I know deep down in your hearts, you may not use the same language. It's what you as Duck River Baptists and Tennessee Baptists are also trying to do, is to give as many people as many opportunities as possible to hear, see, and respond to the gospel. One of the things that Matt and Mark have mentioned is that over these last couple of years, I've been moving towards a transition. For a long time, I was both pastoring Tapestry Church, which never really was full-time, as well as leading a network. And I could lead the network and pastor the church when there was three churches. Brother LZ, that was I could manage a church and maybe helping three churches. Maybe I could even manage 5, 6, 7 churches as well as pastoring our church. But over the last couple of years, truly, it's become something that was meant to be for good, but it was wearing us out. Wearing me out, wearing my family out. I mentioned I'm married to a Tennessee girl. Her name's Brooke. We have 3 children, 15, 13, and 10, girl, boy. I wasn't giving my best to the Aspen Network. I wasn't giving my best to Tapestry Church. I wasn't giving my best to my family, and we knew it. And so we began to work towards it, and it took some time for us to get there. But at the end of September, I officially stepped down as pastor of Tapestry Church, the starter of our network. passed it on to someone who'd been in our church for about a year. His name is Mornay. He is South African by birth, and he has taken over, and he is doing a great... They had baptism this morning in our river. Now, some of you guys are going, what? Because you've been there, and you know even in the middle of the summer, our river is freezing cold, let alone now. But they did baptisms today in the river, Mark. I don't know if that makes any sense. It doesn't make any to me. I'm glad I'm not pastor now. But they did it, so I'm celebrating with them in warm Tennessee. But God has raised up a new leader there. But my job as of October 1st is to fully commit myself to serving these churches. I wrote down in my notes, because maybe it applies to you, we're sitting at an associational meeting, and I've certainly been asked this, is this kind of like an associational role? Is this a... Are you a DOM? Are you an associational missionary? And in some respects, it's yes. I mean, I do some of what Matt does and some of what the DRBA does for local churches. I'm a pastor to pastor. I'm getting around serving and preaching in our churches. What's a little bit unique about it is these are all churches that were started from one church. These are all churches that we've done leadership development together. We all speak a similar language in terms of what gospel preaching looks like. But we're all different, too. We have a Congolese church. I'll tell just a couple stories. Our Congolese church, it's been going for about 3 years, 3 years now. It's called Global Mission Fellowship. It is primarily made up of refugees from the Congo. Now these refugees are coming, and there's a pastor. His name is Jisanga Rakima. He is in his late 50s, recently diagnosed with diabetes, trying to figure out what that looks like in his life. He's been working security 4 nights a week. He used to sit in those security cars that watches over copper wire. You guys maybe have seen those in some construction sites. Well, I just learned about a month or this summer, actually, when some of our teams were there, that technology has taken out his job. They're putting in cameras and they're putting in different things that can take care of sites instead of paying somebody to sit in a car all night. So you guys can be praying for Rakima. But one quick story about his church. I mentioned they're from the Congo. The first time I got to go and be with them in their church was some time ago. I brought my family, and it's a three-hour church. It's an African church. They just keep going, just kind of like this DRBA meeting, and this pastor up here just keeps on going, right? And so, exactly, but I'm not dancing nearly as much in there. There's more dance and there's singing. I don't do any of that. But Rakima was up there, and he was preaching on forgiveness. And I'm listening, they're translating it for my benefit that day. They're translating a sermon, and he's using illustrations because earlier that month, tribesmen from his tribe and his church's tribe in Congo were being slaughtered by majority tribes in Congo, because there is still tribal warfare going on in Congo. And I am hearing this brother who had lost loved ones in Congo in that last month preaching to other Congolese who had lost loved ones that past month to tribal war, preaching about forgiveness of those men and women who had inflicted so much pain on them. I have never experienced anything close to that, but that day I had never experienced the visceral impact of comprehending what forgiveness actually looks like. I have trouble forgiving somebody who cuts me off in traffic, and Brother Rakima here is talking about forgiving those who are slaughtering his families back home. This is a man who is giving his life to see gospel saturation in our city. He's teaching what it means to follow Jesus, even in hard ways, in Calgary. Jeremiah Smith is another story. He's originally from Canada. He pastors Grace City Church. It's probably one of our largest churches, maybe 150, 160 people. And he's just felt the call. And last year, he took himself and one of the elders, and they moved to the south part of the city, and they decided that they were going to plant a church. He was a pastor who left the pulpit because he felt like God was calling him to go, and he planned to go. And so they just celebrated their first year as a church plant. I'm excited. Part of my role over these next few months is going to be working with his replacement at the original sending church at Grace City. His name is Dave Robinson. He's from Liverpool originally. He's a young man who's still in seminary, definitely has the character and the call, and he's growing in his competencies to be a pastor. And I get to be kind of a friend pastor next to him, preaching once a month at Grace City as Grace City multiplies and plants new churches. The last guy I want to tell you about is Jeremiah Capuli. There's a lot of Jeremiahs, by the way. So I call this one, his name is Jeremiah Capuli. I just call him Capuli. He's from the Philippines originally. And this brother, some of you have probably met him if you've been to Canada. This brother is a disciple-making, leadership-multiplying guru. I don't know how he does it, but this brother, wherever he goes, he's winning people to Christ. Wherever he goes, he's helping lead people into following Jesus and discipling them and even identifying new leaders. Because of Jeremiah and because of the work of some of our other church plants, I showed you we have 15-odd churches now in our network. This coming Tuesday and Wednesday, the North American Mission Board hosts their annual or their biannual assessment in Calgary for new church planters. And in part because of Capuli, in part because of Jeremiah Smith and Rakima and what our network is doing, we have 5 new church planters going through assessment next week that will represent potentially 5 new churches next year. These brothers need help. All of them are co-vocational. All of them are bivocational. All of them, all the new ones anyways, are immigrants to Canada that are learning what it means to even be a legal entity, to be a church, to make disciples in this new context. And so part of my role is going to be walking alongside them, helping them translate what discipleship and missions looks like in their home country into this new country, even as they reach immigrants in our new country, learning what it means to be a church, learning what it means to be a network of churches as we reach our city so that every man, woman, and child will have these opportunities. So this morning, I'm a pastor, I can't help it, this evening, part of what I do want to share with you is a little bit of our need, and the need for us is for me to be full-time, and I really liked it better during the first 7-8 years of our network's existence when I could come here and just tell you about Rakima and say partner just with Rakima or just partner with our church plants. And so I've actually had a little bit of guilt this past, say, 6 or 7 months getting ready for this new role, because part of my role requires that I actually fundraise some for my role. I'd rather raise money for others, Hanero. I don't know. It's easier for me. And so I was sharing this with our church plants, and all of them, without exception, came up to me afterwards and said, Brother Kelly, I need you to get fully funded so that you could spend a full time, all of your time, serving to help us, support us, yes, fundraising for us, but they were saying, forego raising money for us for the next little bit till you're full time, and I'm not going to do that. If you guys are hearing me talk today and you're like, man, I want to partner with Rakima and just help him in this hour of need, or you want to partner with Capuli as he makes disciples, of course, I'm going to help you partner with them directly. But part of the need for us is for me to be full-time, to be able to spend my time solely working with these guys. Recently, Send Network, part of the North American Mission Board, has started kind of pulling back a little bit of their funding in Canada, which means we don't have a Send City missionary anymore. I think the same thing is happening in Wyoming, is what I've heard, as the previous SCM has retired, and they're not going to be replacing that role. So there is a need for men like me that serve, not necessarily with the denomination, but serve over the city, helping to coordinate church planting and ministry in the city. And so part of that is going to be me stepping into this role. Planters have told me, as I've already said, to go out there and to raise. And so one of the things that we're asking the Lord, and I think that's on the next slide, is that we're asking for a partnership challenge of nearly $7,000 a month. By God's grace, today, and it's only been 26-odd days since I started this role, we're already about 35 to 40% of the way to that goal. But we are asking the Lord to provide these, most of which would go to me being fully funded. Some of it will be going to the Canadian federal government due to taxes, as it were. But this is something that we are asking the Lord to provide. We've been asking individuals, hey, would you give $20 a month towards this? Thinking that if we have $250, $20 a month, that adds up, right? We're asking churches to consider giving $50 to $100 a month. We're asking associations to provide as well. But this is the need for us right now. On the next slide, we have a couple QR codes. One is to pray. You've heard from everybody who's gotten up here today that without prayer, without us saturating our mission, his mission, that he's calling us into with prayer, we're not going to get there. All we started with some 8 years ago was with a prayer. Lord, would you use us? Lord, would you take these small offerings that we have and would you multiply them? And by God's grace, he has. And so Our goal right now is to raise, and I might have shared it last year, is to raise up 10,000 people praying for the city of Calgary. We may need $7,000 a month, we may need 10 new church plants, but we want 10,000 people praying. I think we're actually pretty close to 10%. We're up close to about 1,000 people now praying for the city of Calgary. And so if you want to join our prayer list, find a way to scan the one QR code without reading the other QR code. And then the other one there is for you to give. If any of you guys feel, if your churches feel like you want to give, if you want to ask me questions, talk to Matt, talk to Mark, ask them questions, I'd love for you to connect with them or connect with me. But we are asking that by the end of this year, so in 2 short months, that I'd be able to say that I am fully supported and I can spend all of 2026 just serving and supporting and fundraising even for our guys and our planters that are coming behind me. As I close, one last thing. My last sermon at Tapestry, I was going back and forth for about 4 or 5 months. Like, what do you preach at your last sermon? I'm still a young guy, I guess. I've only been in one pastorate, and maybe some of you guys have been in multiple, but I was like, what, after 12 years, what do you say on your last Sunday? What message do you preach? And I toyed with the passage in Acts where Paul is gathering the elders from Ephesus, and he's kind of speaking into them, and he's rallying them and saying, hold fast, and he's getting ready to go back. And I was like, what? Man, I don't feel like Paul. Like, I'm not going to preach Paul's sermon to the elders in Ephesus. And I was like, but there's some good things in there, so maybe I could. But I ended up, long story short, going, what's the most basic thing that I could do on my last Sunday? And I ended with this passage. You guys will know it, I'm sure. And this will be kind of how I end. Romans 1, verses 16 to 17. For if I'm going to finish the pastorate, if I'm going to begin the pastorate, if I'm going to start this new role, I want this to be at the heart of it. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone, to every man, woman, and child who believes, to the Jew first, yes, but also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God, his goodness, his glory, his faithfulness, all that he is what? Is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Duck River Baptist, I thank you for your time. I thank you for your continued partnership in the gospel in Calgary. I'm thankful for your prayers and the support. Thank you, Matt. Thank you.
A great opportunity right in front of us. I'm thankful that God laid that on Mark's heart several years ago to take a group of pastors to go to Calgary on a vision trip to see what the Lord may be doing in that area and how they could partner, how you could partner, how we could partner with that. And now you see what the Lord is doing. 15 churches, getting ready to add several more into that process. And I would encourage you, I would ask that you pastors and that you church members would go back. Some of you have already done your budget for the year. Some of you are working on your budget for the coming year. I would encourage you to consider that. I know we've talked a lot about missions. There's a lot of missions and ministries that we're talking about. Listen, that's what you do as a church. We do missions and ministries, churches. And we're to be good stewards of what God has given us. And what are we about? We're about sowing seeds. We're about the gospel. And that right there, that's a great example of what we should be doing with the money that God has entrusted us with. And so I would encourage you to go back and pray about your budgets in the coming days and see what God may be leading you to do. Think about a Calgary Sunday at your church this year. We're going to think about a Calgary Sunday association-wide this year to see what we can do to help support that. Listen, that is a great opportunity for us. We're already partnering there with our trips. We need to also partner there with our pocketbooks in the coming year. And we're going to do that in the association in the coming days. I sat down and told Kelly some of the things that I'm thinking about doing as an association, how we can partner even further as an association. So you be praying for us as an association. We got a lot of partnerships we're talking about in the coming days. When God calls us home, when we leave this earth, I want Duck River Baptist Association to be broke when God calls us home. Amen. Because I want us to have invested. We're not just giving money. We're investing in the kingdom. And I promise you, you can't outgive God. The more we give, the more God will give. And the more God gives, the more we can give. And God, it's just a recurring cycle, folks. You've seen God do it in your life and in your churches, and the more we give, the more God will give. So, Kelly, God bless you, brother. We're praying for you, praying with you, and we're going to be with you along the way. Amen. Let's give Kelly another hand and thank God for what he's doing in Kelly's life. We're just going to forego the last song, Brother Mike. Is that all right? Get these folks out of here. I know they're hungry. Are y'all hungry? Tired. All right, we're just going to forego the last song. Tim's going to dismiss us with emotion. And then, where's Brother Chris? Brother Chris is going to come up and have our final prayer this evening.
All right, it's been good to be together. Chris, if you'd make your way on up here from Riva Lake, Chris, one of our newest pastors, is going to lead us in our closing prayer, but we need an official motion to adjourn from our 199th annual celebration. James, who just seconded that? Richard Craddock, second. All right, if you're in favor, please stand. If you are against that, you just stay all night. Okay, that's fine. All right. And remember, put on your calendar now. Go back and tell your pastor and others. Next year's going to be a big year, 200th anniversary. Please, and I'm not picking on anybody, don't plan anything on that night, trunk or treat or anything else. It happens every year. Oh, I didn't remember we were going to have an annual meeting. We have it every year, folks. Randy Davis, our executive director, is going to be preaching next year. We're going to have a great celebration. So we'll see you then. Chris?
Let's pray together. Our gracious God, we stand before the throne of your precious grace. Father, we thank you for everything that come across this stage tonight. We thank you for everyone that came and spoke about mission opportunities and mission work and the things that you have done, Lord, throughout our association and throughout the world. And Lord, we pray that you'll open the doors of ministry, both for them to continue the work that they've been doing, and Lord, for us to continue to help them in that work, be it by prayer, be it by money, or be it by the visitation of our own bodies. And Lord, I just pray that you'll just open those doors of ministry, that we may do the work that you've set before us. And Lord, bless this association, bless everyone, bless Brother Matt as he leads us in our mission work. And Lord, we just pray that you'll bless each one that came tonight, give a safe passage back home. And Lord, help us to remember next year and to come in greater numbers and in greater enthusiasm. And Lord, we ask you all this to the glory of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.